The Gemara over here on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah had mentioned the 39 Malachas, and now the Gemara is going to explain some of those Malachas. We're at the bottom of the Amud on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Hazoira v'haboyer v'hatoich and ma'merakid. So the Gemara asks, Hainu zoira, hainu boyer, hainu merakid. These three Malachas all involve basically the same idea of removing the psoilus, the unwanted parts of the food, from the food. So why does the Mishnah count them as three malachas? They should all be counted as one malacha. Abaye v'rava d'amri t'avaye v'kal milsa d'hava b'mishkan, afagav d'ika d'damilei choshev lo. Any process that was in the Mishkan, even though it may be similar to another process, but it's still counted as a separate av malacha. So these three, they all of them, the idea is the same, but since there were three separate steps, Zoira is winnowing, the tefillah was thrown up into the air, and the husks blow off, and then you pick out with your hands whatever psoilus is left, that's called boirer, and then you grind it, and then you sift it, which is merakeid. So all of them, these three are the same idea, but since they're three different processes, they're called three malachas. If that's the case, if we list anything, any process that was in the Mishkan, even if it's similar to another process, so then we should list as another av malacha koitesh, which was after the flour was made, it was pounded to remove any bran that was left on the kernels, and this should be counted as a separate av malacha. Amar Abaye shekein oni oichel pitei b'lei ketisha. The reason is that we do count every process that was in the Mishkan, but provided that it's considered an important process. And what makes it considered an important process is if it's used in the bread-making process. If that process is something that's done when you're making bread, so that's considered an important process, and it becomes an av malacha for itself. Koitesh is not necessarily, sometimes it's done in the bread-making process, but since oni oichel pitei b'loi ketisha, a per person doesn't bother to do that. He makes the bread without this step, so it's not considered an important step, and therefore it's not an av malach on its own. Rav Amar, how money Rebbe he? Rav says the reason why koitish is not counted is it's the Mishnah goes according to Rebbe, the Omer Ovis malachas harboim chaser achas, that he has a pasuk that there are only 39 av malachas. So we already have 39. If we were to add koitish, that would be 40. V'chashiv koitish havalei aboyim. If we would count koitish, that would be 40. And we can't have 40. We know from a pasuk it's only 39, so we didn't count. Koitish is not included. So the Gemara asks, v'lei pikchad mehanach v'lei ayal koitish. If you have, Rebbe doesn't have a limit as to which is to be included in the 39. He only has a limit that there are 39. So we could take out, if that's the case, why should I list three that are similar? I could take out one of these three malachas of boyer, zoyer, boyer, merakeid, and list koitish instead. And I'd still have only 39. How do I know to exclude koitish? Maybe I should exclude one of the three malachas of boyer. El mechaber tokid abaye. The Gemara says the correct answer is like Abaye said before, that we only count malachas that are involved in the bread-making process, and koitish is not necessarily involved. That's why koitish is excluded, and the other three are included. Now the Gemara goes to the malach of boyer. Tana rabbanan hoyel afan of minei oichlin. If somebody had in front of him different types of food, so the din is boyer v'oichel boyer u'meiniach. Sometimes he could be boyer to eat, or he could be boyer to put in front of somebody else to eat. V'lo yivr. And sometimes the din is he cannot be boyer. V'imbirer chayv chatas. If he was boyer, then he's chayv chatas. So the Gemara asks, my comer, what is this b'raisa? What is the chat in the b'raisa? He said, sometimes yes, sometimes no. When yes, when no. Omar ula hachi comer. Boyer v'oichel l'boy b'yayim u'boyer meiniach l'boy b'yayim. He could be boyer to, if he's going to eat it that day. If he's being boyer because he wants to use it that day during Shabbos sometime, even much later, but he wants to do it that day, that's mutter. Ulamacher lo yiver. But if he's going to, he's being boyer for another day to use it after Shabbos Sunday, so that is lo yiver. That type of breira is not allowed. Imbir chayv chatas. But and if he did, if he was boyer for the next day, he's chayv chatas. Mask v'lo Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda asked on this teretz, v'chimutu la'afes l'boi b'yoyim, v'chimutu la'vashu l'boi b'yoyim. According to this teretz, we're saying that it's mutter to be boyer as long as it's for that day. Where do we find any other malacha that is mutter because I'm doing it for that day? Was somebody allowed to cook because he's doing it for that day? So it doesn't make sense to say that boyer should be mutter because I'm doing it for that day. So the Gemara rejects this teretz and goes with a different teretz. El Amar Rav Chisda, boyer v'oichel pachas mikishir, boyer v'miniach pachas mikishir. When is it mutter to be boyer? If you're being boyer less than a shear. We know the shear for a malach on Shabbos is kigroigris. You have to do a shear of a dried fig. So if he's doing less than that shear, he's allowed to be boyer. If he's being boyer only a small amount, that's mutter. Ukishir lo yivrer vimbira chayv chatas. If he's doing a shear, a full amount, so that is, you're not allowed to be boyer. And if he is, then he's chayv chatas. Maskev l'Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks on this, v'chimutu la'afis pochas mekishir. We know that all over, chatzi shir osim in ha-toira, that one is not allowed to do any type of iser, even if he does less than the shir. The shir is as far as oinshim, to get malkus, or to be chayiv chorus, but as far as being osim in ha-toira, it's osir if you're doing even part of the shir. So again, the Gemara rejects this teretz, that's not the pshat, the Braisa does not mean to allow boyer if it's less than the shir. Halam Rav Yosef, boyer v'oichel biyad, boyer miniach biyad. When is it mutter? It's mutter if you do boyer with your hand, without using a keli, you're not using an instrument to be boyer. If you're just being boyer with your hand, that's mutter. B'konon v'tamchui, lo yivr v'mbir potter. If someone is going to be boyer using a kli, so whenever you talk about being boyer with a kli, it depends what type of kli you're using. If you're using a kli that is not normally used for boyer, such as a konon v'tamchui, which is a funnel and a plate, which can be used for boyer, but that's not the normal way of doing it. So if someone were to do that, since he's using a kli, it is also lo yivrer, v'mbirer potter avol aser. But if he did it, he's not chayiv min ha-toira, he's potter avol aser, because he didn't do it in the normal manner. But if he does with a nap and a kivra, which is a type of sieve, which is the normal way of doing it, there the din is lo yivra v'mbira chayiv chatas. There the din is, if he was boyer, he's chayiv chatas. So right now the Gemara is saying that how is it that boyer is mutter? It's mutter if you did it biyad. It doesn't say anywhere in the Braisa that the Isser is by Konan v'tamchui, or Napa v'kivra. It doesn't say that. So here the Gemara is rejecting this teretz, not because of Svara. In Svara it makes sense to say that Yad is different than Kli. It's just that it's not mashma like that in the Braisa, because the Braisa should have said that the Isser applies when you're using a Keli. But nevertheless, the Gemara doesn't stay with this teretz, and the Gemara goes to a different teretz. El Amar Rav Hamnuna, Boyer v'Oichel, Oichel mitoich ha-psoilis. Boyer v'Oichel, Oichel mitoich ha-psoilis. Boyer v'Meiniach, Oichel mitoich ha-psoilis. When is it mutter to be boyer? It's mutter if you're taking Oichel from psoilis. That means he has two things in front of him. He has meat, but it has bones. So you take the Oichel. And you leave the bones instead of taking the bones. Taking the bones out would be considered derech breira. Taking the oichel is considered derech achila. So when is it mutter to be boyer if you're taking the oichel from the psoilus? But if you take psoilus mitoicha oichel lo yivr, if you're going to take psoilus and leave over the oichel, that is lo yivr v'mbirer chayv chatas. That's where the Braisa says that you're chayv chatas. If you take psoilus from oichel. Mask of Abaye. So Abaye has a question on this. Midi oichel mitoich psoilus ketoni. Again, the braise is not mashm like this. If the heter was only when you take oichel, it shouldn't just say stam that you could be boyer. It should say that you could be boyer only oichel mitoich psoilus. Once again, the Gemara doesn't reject this teretz because of svara. In svara, it makes a lot of sense to be mechalik between whether you're taking oichel or whether you're taking psoilus. Makes a lot of sense. If you take the oichel, that's more of derech achila. That's the way a person eats. Always when a person's eating, he has in front of him some parts that are good and some parts that are not to be eaten, and you have to separate them. So the derech achila is to take the oichel. The svar makes sense, but nevertheless, it doesn't fit into the braisa. The Gemara asks, Mask of Labaya, midi oichel mitoich psoilus ketoni, el amar abaya, boyer of oichel lialter, u boyer umeiniach lialter. When is the heter of Breira? If he's doing it li'alter, if he's doing it because he wants to eat it immediately, then it's mutter to be Breira. But for Later in the day, lo yiver, you can't be boyer. V'imbir nasa kiboyer la'oitzer v'chayiv chatas. If you did it for later in the day, that's considered the same as if you would have done it just for storage purposes, which is certainly not there a chachila. If someone is boyer in order to put it away, so he's not doing this out derech achila, it's derech breira. Same thing if you're doing it even for later in the day, not for immediate use. So that's also considered like boyer la'oitzer, and that's osir. And here the Gemara already accepts this teretz, because when you say boyer, bistam, boyer is mashma, boyer li'alter, to use it for right away. So the Gemara is, the final teretz of the Gemara is that where you boyer la'alter, that breira is mutter. If you're being boyer for la'achar zman, that's osir. But as we mentioned, the last two terutzim of biyad and oichel mitoich psoilus, the Gemara didn't reject in Svara, and the emes is in Shulchan Aruch, these three rules do apply to breira, all three of these last terutzim. Generally, it says that breira is mutter if you're taking oichel from psoilus, if you're doing it biyad, and if you're doing it lialter, to eat it right away. These three rules do, under these three conditions, breira is generally mutter. Amru Rabbanan Kami de Rava, the Rabbanan said over to Rava, this teretz, that the Braisa means to say a difference between whether you're doing it la'altar or for la'chazman, omelahu, shaper omer Nachmeni. He answered them back that shaper omer Nachmeni, Nachmeni is Abaya, Abaya's teretz is correct. He agreed with this teretz. Now the Gemara goes on to a similar machloikis, ha'ilafan of shnei minei oichlin, ubirev ochel, ubirev hiniach. If someone had two minei oichlin, two types of food in front of him, and he was boyer to eat it, or to give it, put it in front of somebody else to be eaten, Ravashi masni potter. Ravashi says, you're potter, means potter avalosser. Rav Yirmi Adifti masni chayiv. Rav Yirmi Adifti said that you're chayiv. So Rav Yirmi Adifti we understand easily, same as the Braisa said before, that if you're boyer for la'achar zman, then you're chayiv. But the Gemara wants to understand Ravashi. Ravashi masni potter v'hotoni chayiv. In the Braisa before, we only had two chilukim. We had a chiluk of mutter, and we had a chiluk of chayiv, but we didn't have potter avalosser. So where's Ravashi speaking? Where did Ravashi say that it's potter avalosser? So the Gemara said, loikasha, hobi konon v'tamchi, hobi napa v'kivra, that we can make a chiluk between whether it's osir min ha-toyer or whether it's only osir min rabbonon, if he's doing it with a kli, and depending on what sort of keli he's using. If he's using a keli that's normally used for breira, like napa v'kivra, so that's osir min ha-toyer. That's what the Braisa spoke about earlier. But where does Ravashi say that it's potra v'losir? That's if he's using konon v'tamchui, he's doing it with a plate or a funnel, which can be used for breira, but that's not the normal way of doing it. So over there, it's potra v'losir. Kiyosa Rav Dimi told over a story that had happened. Omar, he said, Shabbat to the Rav Bibi Have, when he was learning, they took turns which one of the Rabbanan would serve the food for the other Talmidim. So it was the week that Rav Bibi was serving the food. The Iklu Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. Rav Ami and Rav Asi came. They were there in the yeshiva. Shada Kamayu Kilkala de Peri. He took a whole basket of peiris and spread out the whole basket in front of them. He did not separate from the basket the leaves and other psoilus that were laying with the peiris, but he just spread out the whole basket as is and put it. That's the way he prepared the food for the Talmidim. So the Gemara says, we don't know, they didn't know why he did this. V'lo yadana, I don't know, imishum desover oichel mitoich psoilus osir. If the reason he did this is because he held that even normally we say that if you take oichel mitoich psoilus, it's mutter. Maybe he held even oichel mitoich psoilus is osir, and that's why he left the whole mixture together. Maybe that's the reason why. Imishum ayin yofahu de mechavin. Or maybe because he was just mechavin to serve in a way of ayin yofah, in a way that looks more generous, to make a big spread everything out of big spread of all the payers, would look like he's serving in a more generous way. So we don't know if the reason he did this was because of a halachic concern that even to be bayer oichel mitoich psoilus is osir, or if he was just doing this, I'll say, to serve in a generous way. Tosfos says that certainly there's nobody that holds that oichel mitoich psoilus, if it's being done li'alter, is osir. That's certainly mutter. The question here was, because Rav Bibi put out the food well before they ate, so it wasn't li'alter. So now the Gemara says that was the Gemara's question. Maybe he did this because he held oichel mitoch psoilus. If it's not li alter, it's osir. And maybe no. Maybe oichel, if you take oichel mitoch psoilus, is mutter, even if it's not li alter. But he did it for a different reason. He did it because of ayin yofa. Chizki Omar, another halacha. Chizki Omar, habayir turmosim mitoch psoilus shalahem. If someone separates the turmosim from the psoilus shalahem, turmosim are a type of beans, and they have a klipa, a peel on them, and if he separates the beans from the peel, he's chayiv. So this is, of course, hard to understand. He's taking oichel from psoilus. Why should this be osir? So it would seem that Chizki holds that oichel mitoch psoilus is also osir. That's why he says he can't take the tumosim from the psoilus. So the more answers, no. Shani tumosim. The shal kilei shiva zimni. You have to cook it 7 times. The Eloi Shalkele, Misich, if you don't cook it 7 times, then it spoils. So it's considered psoilus mitoich oichel. What it means is that the turmosim have the bean, which is the good portion of it, they also have psoilus. But the good portion of it is only good if it's cooked 7 times. They have to cook it and spill out the water, cook it 7 times. If you cook it in the middle of the process, only cooking it 2 or 3 times, at that point the turmosim are totally enaroi lachila. And they're even worse than the klipa, the psoilus that is naturally on them. The turmosim are worse than the klipa. So at this point, they have a reversed role. The turmosim is really the worst portion of it right now at this stage, and the klipa, which is normally the psoilus at this stage, is the better portion of the bean. So at this stage, we were saying that if you boil the turmosim, at this stage it comes out the turmosim is the psoilus, and you would be taking psoilus mitoich oichel, which is chayv chatas. That's the pshat. Why we said by turmosim, if you boil the turmosim mitoich psoilus, you're chayv chatas. In the middle of the cooking process, right? V'hatoichen. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the malach of toichen, which is grinding. Amr of Papa, Haiman, deporim silka, chayv mishum toichen. If somebody cuts up a silka, which is a beet, into small pieces, chotchei hodek, Rashi says he cut it into small pieces, he's also chayv mishum toichen. The chiddush is that you don't have to actually grind it, but even just chopping it into small pieces, which is a little different than grinding, is also considered toichen. Amr of Menashe, Haiman, desolis, silti, chayv mishum toichen. If somebody cuts wood into small pieces, is also chayv mishum toichen. Doesn't have to necessarily be an oichel, but even if you're cutting up wood into small pieces, is also toichen. Amr Vashi, ikopid amishchosa. If he's cutting the wood and he's makpid, he's cutting small pieces and he's makpid that each piece should be a specific size, not just generally cutting small pieces of similar sizes, but he's makpid an exact size of each of the pieces, then he's chayv mishum mechatech. He's also chayv mishum mechatech, which means cutting something to an exact size.
That's a
tovodah? No, mechatech is an av malacha. V'halosh v'ha'oifel, the Mishnah mentioned other two malachas. What is that? Cutting things to small pieces can be osir. There are, it could be toichen on Shabbos, but you just have to. There are certain heterim. Sometimes toichen is mutter somach l'suda, and you have to know what exactly is considered small pieces. So it's the basic halacha is true. Just the pratum of it, you have to look carefully in Shulchan Aruch. V'halosh v'ha'oifel. Omrav Papa, Shofik Tana Didan Bishel Samimonim Dahava Bemishkin V'Nokat Oife. The Gemara is asking that we want to list over here an Av Malacha of cooking. So the way they did this Malacha in the Mishkan was they cooked Samimonim, they cooked dyes, and it was cooking on top of the stove with water. And instead, the Tana listed as oife, baking, which is essentially the same malacha. It is the same malacha, but it's a different version of it. There's cooking and there's baking. So why did the Tana list baking when the way it actually was in the Mishkan was bishel? So why did he call it oife? So the more answer is Tana didon sidura de pas noket. Our Tana learned the malachas according to the bread making process. As we said before, the bread making process is something that we take into consideration considering what is a malacha. Something that's used in the bread making process is considered an important step, and it's considered an av malacha. And even farther, that even when he's listing malachas, he lists them as they would be used in the bread making process, even though the exact malacha as was done in the Mishkan was bishel, but this malacha of bishel, when used in making bread, it's a little different. It's oifa, so the Tana called it in the Mishnah oifa rather than bishel. Amar vacha barav avia hayman d'shoda sichta la'asuna chayev mishum mevashel. If someone takes and puts a wet or a moist piece of wood, a log, into an oven, he is chayiv mishum mevashel. That's called mevashel. So the Gemara asks, pshita, that's poshet. The truth is, us looking at the Gemara, it's not poshet at all. Bishel means to cook something. You're not cooking anything by throwing a wet log into the oven. And the pshat is because the Gemara understands bishel different than we understand bishel. The principle of bishel is not as we're used to thinking of it, cooking something. The principle of bishel is changing the texture of something by heating it. If it was soft and you made it hard, like an egg, you had an egg that was soft, you cook it, it becomes hard. You change the form of something by heating it, that is considered bishel. As we will see in the Gemara later, if someone takes tar, which is a block of tar, and he melts it, he didn't cook anything, but he changed the shape of it, the texture of it, by heating it, that is bishel. So the Gemara over here knew, the Gemara thought it's simple, that by cooking it, by throwing this log in the oven, you're going to change the texture of it. We'll see how. So the Gemara thought, pshita, that's poshet, that by heating a log, you're going to change you're going to make it either harder or softer, and that certainly will be bishel. So the Gemara answers, ma'u detayim alashurei monikom mechavin. I would think when he throws it in the oven, all he wants to do is be mechazik, strengthen the log, because it's a little wet now, so it's not so strong, and by drying it out, it gets stronger. And that, he's not changing the form of it in any way, it just dries out, so memela, it gets stronger. That wouldn't be bishel. Kamash malon, the chiddush is that you do change the form of it. Kamash malon demirpe rafi, when you throw it into the oven, first it gets softer. The wood that is wet and it goes into the oven, it gets softer. Vahadar kamet, and then it gets harder again. So since he changes the form of it, it gets softer. That's considered bishel. Meili schayv mishum bishel. Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna hayman de'irtach kufra. If someone heated kufra, which is tar, and he made it, he liquefied it, he's chayiv mishum mevashel. He's also chayiv mishum mevashel. The Gemara asks again, pshita, because the translation of bishel is changing the form of something by heating it. So it's pshita, of course it's bishel. So the Gemara said, ma'u detayma kivin dehoder v'ikusha emaloi. Since the change that takes place, that it becomes liquid, is only a temporary change. When it gets cooled off, it will become hard again. So it's only a temporary change. So I would say perhaps that's not considered bishel. Kamash malon, that it's still considered bishel. Omarova, hayman de'ovet chavisa. If someone made a chavis out of clay from start to finish, so chayiv mishum sheva chatoyis, he will be chayiv, seven different chatis are involved in this process. Rashi says the first thing is he takes clumps of dirt and has to grind them up, which is toichen. Then he has to pick out of there stones that are in the dirt, which is boyer. And then he has to sift the dirt with a sifter to get out any smaller stones, which would be merakate. Then he mixes the dirt with water and mixes it together, that's lush. Then he smooths the clay that he has made into the form of a barrel, that's a memarech. And then he lights the oven, the tanner that he's putting it into, which is avoda. And then by heating it in the oven, it will become hard. It was soft clay and it became hard. That would be mevashel. So that's seven melachos involved in making a chavis. Tanura, if he made a tanner, not a barrel, but a tanner to bake in, also from scratch with the clay. He's chayiv mishum shmoyne chatois. He's chayiv those seven, and one additionally, that is because when you finish, you make the tanner the same way you make the chavis, so that involves seven malachas. But then when you finish, you smear some sort of coating on the inside, which adds to the insulation of the oven, and that smearing it is considered makeh bepatish, because we say that kol midi dahavig ma malacha chayv mishum makeh bepatish. Anything that's finishing off something is considered makeh bepatish. So here, where he smears the inside of the oven, that step is considered makeh bepatish, and that's the eighth malacha. Really, we have to understand why by chavis he's finishing a chavis. So why shouldn't that always be chayv mishum makeh bepatish as well? I think the Minchas Chinuch asks, why isn't every mevashel, if somebody cooks an egg on Shabbos, why isn't that makeh bepatish? It's mevashel, he's cooking the egg, but he's also makeh bepatish. Kol midi shehu mishum gmar malacha is makeh bepatish. So why wouldn't that be makeh bepatish? The answer is, Rashi answers this in just a few words here. Rashi says that makeh bepatish is only when you finish it biyadayim, you finish it with your own hands by smearing on the insulation on the inside, that's makeh bepatish. If you prepare it and then the actual finishing is done in the oven, so it happens memela, that's not makeh bepatish.
When he says biyadayim, that means any part of your body that does it, let's say use your feet.
Yeah, it just means you do it directly, instead of you prepare it and then it happens on its own in the oven or something like that. So that would be chayv mishum makeh bepatish. That's why he says that cooking also, even though of course you're finishing a finished thing, but that all happens by itself. You put it on the oven, you put it on the stove or in the oven, but the actual finishing happens on its own, so it's not makeh bepatish. Omer Baya, Haiman de Oved Chilta, Chayev Achas Esrei Chatoyes. If someone made a basket, a woven basket out of sticks, he's Chayev 11 Chatoyes. Rashi says the 11 is he cuts off sticks, which is Chayev Mishum Zoymer, and it's also Chayev Mishum Neiteya, which is he improves the tree, because we know cutting off the sticks improves the tree, as the Gemara said earlier. So you have Zoymer and you have Noiteya. Osfam Yachad, when he gathers them together, gathers all the sticks together, that's Mamir. He separates and picks out the good ones, is Boirer. Then he smooths down the sticks, sands them down, is Memachek. Then he takes the sticks and to make them thinner, he splits every stick into two or three pieces, that's Toichen. Then he cuts them to the size that he needs, which is Mechatech. Then you have the three malachas that are involved in Ariga, which is Mesech, Oiseh, Shnei Batenirim, and Oirig. Then after he cuts them, after he already finished the whole thing, there are some sticks sticking out, so he cuts those off, and that's makeh bepatish. So that should be 11 chatoyes for doing this one woven basket. V'chayta lepume, if he sews the mouth, that means around the top of the basket, he sews on a border. So then chayiv shloish esrei chatois. Then he will be chayiv another two, because sewing is an av malacha toifer, and in order for the sewing to hold, he'll have to tie it. He'll have to tie the ends of the chut, and that would be chayiv mishum koisher. So we have a total of 13 chatois over here.
How does the Gemara feel need to mention how many chatos can be done with these various acts? Can we figure it out on our own? You know, what's the chiddush?
Probably that some of these minor processes, which you may not chop, that some of these things are an av malacha. So he said that there are 13 chatoyes. Omer Abba Bar Rav Huna, Omer Rav Yochanan, Hatova Tzemesh Al Gabei Behema B'Shabes Chayiv Sholosh Chatoyes. If someone spins the wool right off the back of the animal, doesn't shear it off and then spin it, but while it's on the animal, he spins it, he'll be Chayiv 3 Chatoyes. Mishum Goizeis, One thing he's chayiv is goizes, which is shearing it, because now by taking it, by spinning it, he's going to be taking it off the animal, so that's goizes, shearing. V'achas mishum menafetz, one is combing out, untangling, because obviously to spin it, he has to untangle it. So v'chayiv mishum menafetz. V'achas mishum tova, one because of spinning, these are three av malachas. Rav Kahana omar ein derech gziza bekach, doing it right off the back of the animal is not considered gziza. That's not the normal way of doing gziza. Vein derech menafetz bekach. That's not the normal way of doing nifutz. Vein derech tovui bekach. That's not the normal way of doing tovui. So you're not chayiv for any of them. Frekta gemar v'loi. This is not the derech v'hatanya mishmeder of Nechemiah. Shotuf be'izim v'tovu be'izim. The gemar says that when they made the mishkan, the pasuk says over there tovu es ha'izim. So it's a funny lashon. It's mashma like they were Tova, they spun the izim. They didn't spun the izim, they spun the hair of the izim. The Gemara learns from that they washed and spun the hair of the izim right off the back of the animal. They did not shear it. So they did just this in the Mishkan. So, Alma, Tviya, Algabe, Behema, Shmei, Tviya. You see that spinning it right off the back of the Behema is considered Tviya. That's the way they did it in the Mishkan. So the Gemara answers, Chochmi, Seyashani. It's no rai from the Mishnah over there. The people were unusual chachamim and knew how to do things better than the normal, and therefore over there they did it that way, but that still doesn't blib. That's not the normal way of doing it for us, and therefore you would not be chayv. Tana Rabbanan, Atoyla says hakonof, if someone picks off a feather, a large feather from a bird, v'hakoytmai, when you take a large feather, one of it, one end of it is has a hard, like a stick, and the other end of it is soft feathers. So you pluck off the feather, and then you cut off the top of it, which is soft feathers, and that's used for a pillow. So you're toilish, and then you're kaitma, you cut off the top of it. V'hamortoi means then the sides of the stem, which also have feathers on them, if you take off all those feathers as well, so then you're chayv shalosh chatois, you'll be chayv three chatois. I'm Reb Shimon Lakish. Reb Shimon Lakish explained what is it. Toilish chayv mishum goizes. For plucking the feather, that's goizes. That's the same as shearing off the wool of a sheep. The same thing as plucking the feathers off of a bird. So that's goizes. V'koytem chayv mishum mechatech. And then cutting off the top of the feather is mechatech, because he cuts off exactly to a certain point. Till this certain point is where the feathers are soft and usable for a pillow. So that's mechatech. And memaret, by taking off the feathers on the side, you have now made the stem smooth. So that's chayiv mishum memachek. That's the av malach of memachek, which means smoothing off. Hakoshev ha-matir. We say hakoshev ha-matir are two more av malachas, tying and untying. Kshira the mishkan hechahave. Where was their kshira in the Mishkan? We know all the malachas are learned from the Mishkan. Where was their kshira involved in the Mishkan? Amar Rava, Shekein, Koishrin b'yaseidais aholim. When they put the curtains, they made curtains and they used them as the roof of the Mishkan. So the curtains hanged over the side of the Mishkan. So they would take the sides of the curtains that were hanging down and they would tie a rope to that and they would knock a spike in the ground and tie the curtain to the spike in order that the curtain shouldn't blow off or shouldn't blow in the wind. So this was kshira. We had kshira in the Mishkan when you tied the ariyas to the yaseidas. So the Gemara asks, that wouldn't be a malach over there. Ha'hu kaisham menas lahatirhu. That's a kshira that is oimed, it's destined to be untied. And we know that for kosher you have to make a kesher shel kayama, kesher that's supposed to last. This is a kesher that is not made to last. So that wouldn't be kshira. Elam rabbaye shekein orge yiriyais shenifzik alahem nima kosher naisa. If the ones that were making the curtains, if a thread got torn, so they didn't throw out the thread, they tied the two ends together, and that was tied to remain like that permanently. So that was kshira. Omelei Rava, Taratz the kosher. You have explained where kosher comes into the Mishkan. Aber matir ma'ikel meimar. How about matir, untying? Where did that happen in the Mishkan? V'chi tema d'chimisrami lohutrei chuti kitri b'hali adodi. Maybe you'll tell me, you know how it came in, if you had two threads, both of them were tied, so you had two threads with knots, and it happened to come out when they were making the curtains that these two knots found their places, one right next to the other. So now you have an area with two knots next to each other, and it doesn't look good. It looks like a big knot. So what did they do? Shari chad v'kotr chad. What they would do, perhaps, was untie one of them, leave one tied, and leave one untied. That way it wouldn't be so noticeable because you'd only have one knot rather than two knots right next to each other. The Gemara says they didn't do that. They certainly did not do that in the Mishkan. For a melech bas avadam, if you'd be making a beged for him, you wouldn't do that, leave one of the threads untied. And the threads in the use for the ureus, we know, were kafel, many times doubled over and very thick, and leaving it untied would be somewhat noticeable. So you wouldn't do that if you were making it for a melech who needed something of the highest quality. You wouldn't do that. So lefnei melech malchem lachem hakadosh baruch hu oisin. So in the Mishkan of Hashem, certainly they didn't do that. They didn't leave threads untied. They needed the chalazon, which was a type of fish which you make from a tchelis, the dye of the tchelis. So they had to catch the chalazon. They had to make nets. In order to make nets, you tie ropes together, and sometimes you also untie those ropes to tie another rope, to tie another net to this net. So making nets involves tying and untying, and that's where we have both of the malachas, Sai Kshira and Sai Matir. Both of them were done in making the nets to catch the chalazon. Another malacha mentioned in the Mishkan, in the Mishnah, is sewing two tefiras, two stitches. How could this be a malacha if you'll sew just two stitches? It won't hold. If you'll just leave the two stitches shortly, the stitches will come out, and the two things that you have sewed together will separate themselves. So if it's not something of kayoma, not something that creates a lasting improvement, it's not mistaver that such a thing should be considered a malacha. That after he ties the two stitches, he makes a knot at the end of the chut, the end of the thread on both ends, so that the thread can't come out. And now since the thread can't come out, so now it's a lasting improvement, and that's chayiv mishum toifer.
So that would be two malachas to be over?
He would be over two malachas, correct.